Welcome to the December 12th, 2004 edition of Wellness in the New Millennium. Thank you for joining me. We have an interesting program lined up for you tonight. My patient Ellen will share her story of how she overcame her lifelong battle with allergies, fatigue, irritability, and PMS, or premenstrual syndrome, with the use of natural medicine. Stay tuned to learn just how bad these symptoms were and how miserable they made her feel. Before we go any further, let me tell you about the upcoming topics for the next few weeks. Next week on December 19th, have you ever wondered about the types of toxic chemicals that are in your skincare products? Dr. Cheryl Ann DeVito will be joining us to tell us about these toxic chemicals and how they affect our health and why she only adds organic and natural ingredients in her skincare products. Then in 2 weeks, on December 26th, tune in to hear how my patient Elsa cured herself from systemic lupus. Tune in to learn how bad Elsa's lupus was, how long she had it, how lupus took away aspects of her life, and how she beat it with natural medicine. On January 2nd, 2005, my patient Jan suffered from a very painful bladder condition called interstitial cystitis. Tune in to hear her story of how she suffered from severe bladder pain, painful and frequent urination, chronic fatigue, and frequent colds, and how she overcame this incurable bladder condition with natural medicine. Again next week, Healthy Skincare with Dr. Cheryl Ann DeVito. Wellness in the New Millennium is brought to you by the leaders in the health, wellness, and alternative medicine industry. Nutrex Hawaii produces a bioastin, the natural astaxanthin, and organic spirulina pacifica in powder, crystal flakes, and tablets since 1983. DeVito Natural Skincare, engineered by nature and formulated by science for healthy, vibrant skin. The Pan American MOA Foundation, promoting true health through art and beauty, nature forming, and jurei, the medical art from Japan. Enzymatic Therapy, producing innovative quality supplements for your healthcare needs. The Flora Supplement Company, producers of liquid phytocapsules and quality nutritional supplements for a healthy digestive tract, bone health, and detoxification. The Good Health Food Store, more than just a health store. And the Island Wellness Center, the chronic illness specialist. When we come back, my patient Ellen will share her story of how she overcame her lifelong battle with allergies, fatigue, irritability, and premenstrual syndrome with the use of natural medicine, right after we take this very important sponsorship break with our friends from the Pan American MOA Foundation, Enzymatic Therapy, and the Flora Supplement Company.
To Dr. Jason Achita of Island Wellness Center. Dr. Achita is trained and licensed as a naturopathic physician and has been in private practice since 1988. Naturopathic physicians are the only doctors who are medically trained in the use of herbs, vitamins, and minerals. Dr. Achita is currently a member on the State of Hawaii Board of Examiners in Naturopathic Medicine, and you may direct appropriate letters and phone calls to his office located at 615 Pi'ikoi Street, Suite 1114, Honolulu, Hawaii 96814, or phone 589-1955. You may also email Dr. Achita at wellness@pdchawaii.com.
This is KWAI Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jason Achita, and you're listening to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. Tonight, we have a very special guest joining us to share her story of her frustrating battle with fatigue, irritability, and premenstrual syndrome. Ellen, welcome to Wellness in the New Millennium.
Hi, thank you.
Ellen's not only my patient, but also my office manager. Ellen is the voice you hear on the other side of the phone when you call into the office, as well as the first face, beautiful face, that you see when you walk into my office. And you're probably lucky seeing her first. Ellen, what made you decide to see me for your health conditions?
Well, actually, when I first started working for you back in December...
Last year,
I was reading up on the handouts for the Candida infection.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I had to familiarize myself with it. And that very first page mentioned all the symptoms, you know, if you have those symptoms. And I found that I had a lot of them. Well, not a lot of them, but a bunch of them were the PMS symptoms, mood swings, and all of that.
Uh-huh.
So I did want to treat myself for it because I've been suffering from it for a very long time, and I've tried a lot of, you know, a lot of things.
Mm.
And at the same time, I also wanted to see how you treated it.
Mm.
So it would help me to answer, you know, questions for other patients too.
Right, because we get a few patients that actually have systemic fungal infections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was also curious, you know, how your appointments went and how you explained to the patient. You know, and doing that, that helped me, you know, to answer, help you answer questions, you know, from the patient.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing is I wanted to deal with my own symptoms, too.
Also.
Okay.
So, you also probably know what goes behind those closed doors now.
Yeah, yes.
me and our patients. All right, so Ellen, tell us about your health problems. How bad were they? How did it affect you? How long did you suffer from them?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see any doctors? And it sounds like you did for them. And what type of medical treatment did you receive?
Well, I had the classic PMS symptoms. I had constant fatigue.
Menses?
Mostly a week or two before my menses. That's how I knew it was almost time.
Okay.
I feel so exhausted that I had to force myself to do things.
Okay.
And I felt this, like, throughout high school.
Okay, we won't say how long that was.
Oh, yeah?
ago that was. But more than a few years.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
You mentioned that you felt so fatigued that you were exhausted.
Yeah,
right?
I would always want to sleep, take a nap. Mm. It was difficult for me to wake up in the morning.
Mm. For how many days? I mean, it started a week to 2 weeks before your menses. How long did that exhaustive fatigue last?
It would usually end the first or second day after I get my menses.
Okay.
So it wasn't throughout my whole life, like even when I didn't have my menses, but mostly when I, about 1 or 2 weeks before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it affected you maybe about 2 weeks out of the month.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, that's a lot.
Yeah, that is. it felt like a lot.
How about the other 2 weeks? Did you feel like you had a lot of energy?
I'm not a burst, like bursts of energy, but I was okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you also mentioned that on the first visit, by the way, that this symptom, the exhaustion, was worsening over the last 4 years.
Actually, yeah. And it got to the point where I wouldn't want to go out.
Mm-hmm.
Or when I went out, I'd feel so tired and drained that I just really didn't want to go anywhere or have excitement to, you know, really do anything. Even when to work out.
Yeah.
It was often difficult for me to work out. And even when I would be consistent with my workouts, I would still feel tired.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So it affected you quite badly. I mean, 2 weeks out of four every month. You basically didn't want to do anything.
Yeah.
You just wanted to be home and sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That would affect you quite a bit, I would think, your life.
It did.
All right. And you mentioned you did see some doctors also. Did you see any doctors for the fatigue or the PMS?
Not for the fatigue, but the other symptoms that I had for PMS was mood swings.
Okay. Tell us about the mood swings. That's always interesting. Now, you got to be honest, because Dason is here with you. That's Ellen's boyfriend.
Well, according to Dason, I was like a light switch. My mood would turn on and turn off, like, in a snap. I could be okay one moment, and then somebody, or he'd say something, or somebody would say something, or something would happen that would just trigger me, and my mood would just change.
You just snap.
Yeah. It was like, you know,
okay.
It was scary sometimes.
So things would fly.
No. Not to that extent.
But meaning you were irritable and short-tempered.
Yeah. And this would happen, like, around the same time as the fatigue.
Mm.
You know, 1 to 2 weeks before.
Okay. So it affect you about 2 weeks out of the month also?
Yeah. And I started to feel, I would start to feel really bad, like depressed, and, you know, I don't know if other women have experienced this, but like the whole world is against me, or, you know, nothing's working right, and nobody loves me, and nothing is happening, nothing good is coming out of my life, you know, you just feel junk.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think you're alone, by the way. I know.
I hope not.
There are a few women out there who feel the same way during their menses, but maybe not for 2 weeks out of the month, though. You mentioned depression, and you talked about that a bit. You also mentioned to me that you were quite anxious, too, during those times.
I get frustrated easily, stressed out easily. I'm short-tempered. You know, in situations like at work, if things would get overwhelming, like real easy.
During those times only?
Yeah. Mm. But I found that in the last couple of years, it would happen, like not during my premenstrual period.
Time.
So that's where I started to think like it was psychological with me. There was something else that was wrong.
Yeah.
And I try to come back, okay, I'm not supposed to be in my PMS stage right now, but I feel so grouchy and irritable and, you know, short with everybody, or everything around me just irritated me.
Yeah. So it was creeping outside that 2 week period.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what was scaring me.
Mm. And that was worsening over the last 4 years also?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. All right. Did you seek any treatment for the premenstrual syndrome?
I did talk to my doctor about, for my mood swing and my depression, I did see a psychologist like one time.
Okay.
I don't know, not very many people
know
you're
that. We know you're not crazy.
But I thought that was the only answer. And
you don't have to worry. We don't think you're crazy. Okay. Even once. Yeah. To talk about the PMS.
Oh, no, not
moods,
well,
the mood swings
and depression.
And the depression.
Yeah.
Anything good come out of that conversation?
Not really. I only went once. I didn't feel like it was
helping you
or the right route. It just didn't seem right to me.
You didn't think it was emotional or mental, psychological?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or I was just convincing myself that it wasn't.
Maybe it was, but then again, maybe it wasn't. Well, you'll learn more about what happened, though, with the depression in a few minutes. So you just got to hang in there. Did you see your gynecologist or your internist for the...
I did see my gynecologist for, like, the cramp. I have major cramps.
Okay,
like,
let's talk
bad.
About that a bit. Talk about that. When did they start and how bad were they?
They started since, like, junior high.
Junior high, okay.
And in high school, on some days, it would get so bad that I'd stay home from school for it. And, my periods were also irregular. So I did see my gynecologist for that, and she put me on, you know, birth control to regulate it.
Mm, that was in, like, junior high?
No, in high school.
In high school, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she said that it would relieve my cramping also.
Did it?
Somewhat.
Somewhat.
But I still felt it. I knew when my menses was coming on, because I would still feel it, but sometimes it wasn't as excruciating as other times.
Mm. How long were you on birth control pills?
I only took it for a year.
A year,
in high school.
And that was for the cramping, though, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what your gynecologist recommended you take.
Yeah.
Okay, and but the cramping was that worsening, too, over the last 4 years?
Yeah.
It was?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the cramping. I mean, did it start about a week or two before your menses?
It will usually start a week, maybe 3 days before my menses, and then when on the first and the second day, it will get really bad.
Tell us how bad. You know, people want to know how bad your cramping was.
It would get so bad where I have to kind of keel over sometimes.
Bend over in pain.
Yeah.
Like somebody punched you in the stomach?
Well, maybe not that bad, yeah. But okay. It was just a real uncomfortable, heavy pain.
Mm.
And it was hard to function sometimes and be happy, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because especially when you have to go to work and, you know, yeah. I used to work in the hotel industry too, and, you know, hospitality and whatnot, and having to be presentable and cheerful, but feeling, you know, yucky, yeah. That cramping feeling.
I don't know about this. I don't feel it myself. But for the men out there, I mean, how long does the cramping last? I mean, does it come and go, or does it, is it all day long?
It's sporadically throughout the day.
So you never know, yeah. When it's going to happen. Happens more than a couple times?
Yes.
More than 5 times?
Yes.
More than 10 times?
Maybe around there.
Around 10 times.
And I know that this may not sound very good, but you know when it's flowing.
Okay.
Because my cramps would feel worse.
Okay.
And it's, you know.
Okay. So, all right. And it would end about when? It started about a week to 3 days before your menses. When would the cramping end?
Usually the third day.
Of your menses?
Yeah.
Okay. So it lasts 10 to 6, 7 days. The cramping.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the first and second days were the worst.
Okay. First and second days
of the menses. Yeah, were the worst.
So it slowly got worse.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. All right. And did you take anything to try to relieve the pain?
Midol or Aleve or Pamprin.
Okay.
They
didn't help?
No.
Okay.
No. Midol did for like a couple hours, and then I feel like I have to take another
more.
Yeah.
Okay. So pretty bad pain.
Yeah.
Okay. You also had other symptoms that was associated with the premenstrual syndrome.
Yes.
Bloating. Tell me about, or tell us about that.
The bloating, I just basically felt fat. I felt yucky.
From a week to 2 weeks before your menses?
Like about a week.
A week. Okay.
Yeah, I just felt heavy. And I felt like I had a lot of water retention, it seemed like.
Okay. And you also had breast pain too.
Yeah.
And that's it's kind of common, I guess, with menses, but how long did that last?
That would be about a week before the menses.
Okay. Yeah. And it would end about second or third day of the menses?
Yeah.
Okay, so about 7 to 10 days or so, had that too. Okay. So you had all kinds of pains.
Yeah.
Right. And then also, I don't know if this is part of it. I don't think it is. But you also suffered from acne problems.
I suffered from acne since sixth or seventh grade.
Okay.
And throughout high school, it got a little bit better, but I would still have breakouts.
Okay.
And I don't know if it is associated with PMS, but I would always have a few breakouts right before. So, and a lot of the time, you know, the women in my family, they've said that too.
For them?
Yeah. Okay. So when, like, my mom or someone else would see me break out, you know,
they would know.
Mention, oh, you're going to get your yours pretty soon.
All right. They can read you like a book. Okay. So, how bad was it? I mean, was it just a couple pimples? You mentioned a breakout.
It would be a couple, but it would be like big ones.
Big ones,
yeah.
Like cystic acne.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so deep.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you get any kind of treatment for that?
I did go to a dermatologist for it. I took like tetracycline and ointments of Retin-A.
Okay.
And for a while, I've been using Proactiv.
Okay.
And that's really helped a lot.
Mm.
But I found more recently, from in the past couple of years, that I would still break out.
Even with the Proactiv.
With the Proactiv.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been using ongoing treatment for the acne.
Yeah.
Since junior high.
Yeah, and
or since 6th, 7th grade, I guess, that's what
you
said, yeah.
And I would always try other medicated cleansers, you know, especially for acne.
Mm. Okay.
But I would still break out.
Oh, yeah. So not much help with the treatment?
Not 100%. So.
All right. You also had some, like, allergy-type problems.
Yeah, I used to have chronic allergies.
Okay.
Or a lot of sneezing and sniffling, and when I got my allergies, it got really bad.
Mm.
So much where I sometimes couldn't function.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So sinus congestion.
Yeah.
And you just don't feel good when your sinuses are congested and you have running nose.
Yeah.
Would it happen like just once or twice a year, or was it more frequent than that?
In the past, it would happen maybe a couple times a month. A
couple of times a month.
Yeah.
So,
then after that, I stopped.
Okay.
And I would only have it like a couple of times a year.
A year.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you seek medical care for that?
No, not for the allergies.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You also mentioned bleeding gums.
Yeah, I had some bleeding gums.
Mm. Okay. Did you ever get care for that from your dentist?
No. I don't floss as much as I should.
Okay.
So, but it only happened like just recently.
Okay.
It wasn't an ongoing thing where I always
had bleeding gums. Okay.
Yeah.
You also mentioned jaw pain before. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I sometimes have jaw pain. It would feel tight, like I'm clenching my jaw often.
Mm-hmm.
And I had felt that when right before I pulled out my wisdom teeth, that it felt that way.
Okay.
And I did pull out my wisdom teeth, so it alleviated it after a while. And then just recently, I felt it again.
Uh-huh.
It was
back.
The same feeling.
When did you remove the wisdom teeth?
Oh, 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay. So, and then that tightness in your jaw was coming back.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This symptom, probably a lot of people out there are going to say it's not really a symptom. But you also crave sweets.
Yeah.
tell us about that a little bit.
It is a symptom.
Okay.
Well, not only sweets. Right before my menses, during that stage, I have a craving for all kinds of stuff, especially desserts and salty things like potato. The best PMS snack is soda, potato chips, or fries, and anything salty and or carbonated and then sweet.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You heard that, everybody?
Junk.
If you have PMS symptoms, you get soda or fries or potato chips. All right. No, you didn't hear from me. All right. So, okay, you had a lot of symptoms, and you had them for a while, more than
mm-hmm.
half your life. Okay, so mm-hmm. did you feel your symptoms were bad?
To me, they felt really bad, but at the same time, they kind of felt normal because it happened every month.
Okay, so did you feel that this was just you? It wasn't related to anything else but you?
Yeah, I thought I was one of the very few lucky ones to have, these kind of symptoms. I just... I tried to help myself, but after a while I began to try to just accept it that,
that's just
this is
me.
My fate.
This is just me?
Fate. Yeah.
This is the way my body is?
Yeah.
Did you ever think that it could be related to diet or something that might be like an infection?
Not an infection.
Mm.
But, especially for the cravings and the cramping
mm-hmm.
and the bloating, I found that if I did stay away from like the salt and the carbonated beverages and the cold stuff, that my menses were a lot better.
Oh, really?
And the PMS symptoms were a lot better.
Okay.
But they didn't go away 100%. And
so you tried that? You tried avoiding those foods?
I tried.
Okay.
But I didn't stick with it.
But you did notice when you stayed away from them, it was better.
Yeah. But then again,
you still had them.
The mood swings I would still have.
Oh, okay.
And the fatigue.
Okay. Yeah, those were maybe your worst symptoms.
Yeah.
Okay. Ellen, what was my diagnosis for you and why?
I had a systemic candida infection.
Oh, there he goes again. Yeah. They're thinking out there. All right. And then why did we believe you, or why did I believe you had the systemic fungal infection?
Well, because in the past I had taken, I did acne treatment with tetracycline and Retin-A, and also took hormone, you know,
birth control pills for a year.
And I also used to take antibiotics a lot for colds. And also I had urinary tract infections. So I took a lot of antibiotics to, you know,
to treat those infections.
And
the colds.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what did I recommend that you do? What treatment did I recommend, I should say?
Well, I wasn't surprised with this treatment because I already knew pretty much what I was heading into. But I was put on your anti-candida diet.
Okay. So what is that?
That's like, for me, the best description is like the Atkins diet or the South Beach diet, 10 times worse.
Or
not tougher.
Making me look good
no,
here, man.
No, not worse, but
it's not
tougher.
Easy.
No,
it is harder than the Atkins and the South Beach.
Yeah.
Because why?
It's not only the carbs and the sugars that you eliminate. It's a whole bunch of other foods that you wouldn't think to eliminate because they could be possible food allergens.
Mm-hmm.
And that was difficult because I could do away with the breads, the pastas, and the sugars.
Mm.
But it was those other things, too, that were difficult to not eat.
Let's name them so the listening audience can kind of understand what we do. So the simple carbohydrates are the cookies, cakes, mm-hmm. pies, pastries, chocolate, ice cream, candy, mm-hmm. As well as breads, mm-hmm. all noodles and pasta,
mm-hmm.
soda, juice, white rice, mm-hmm. alcohol, fruits, dried fruits, box cereals,
mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things. And then the food allergens potential food allergens are tomatoes, eggplant, bell peppers, potatoes, mushrooms, soy. So that's including tofu, corn, dairy products, mm-hmm. including eggs. That's milk and cheese and butter and sour cream and cottage cheese, coffee, peanuts, pistachios, macadamia nuts, and cashews, alcohol, and vinegar.
Yes.
I think I got them all. Okay. So, tough. But we're going to find out why. A lot of my patients or our patients ask me, how come I got to not eat tomatoes? Mm-hmm. Because I've been eating them my whole life and I've never been allergic to them before. Why would I be allergic to them now?
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, you might not have been allergic to tomatoes when you were 5,
mm-hmm.
but along the way you can develop these food sensitivities, and we'll talk more about that mm-hmm. in a little bit. So besides that, Ellen, what else did you have to take or do?
There was also treatment by herbs and supplements.
Okay. So I'll kind of talk about that. Mm-hmm. So basically, Ellen had to not eat those foods that I mentioned earlier, right?
Yes.
So about 100%. Was that easy?
No. No.
Okay. We won't talk any more about that. All right. So we had to also kill the fungal infection, candida being a fungus. So Ellen took a combination of broad-spectrum antifungals. We have to replace the good bacteria back into the body, so that's called Proflora. So Ellen took Proflora supplements to bring them back in. We needed to strengthen the digestive tract because when a systemic fungal infection is in the body, typically the digestive tract is weak. So to make sure Ellen doesn't become allergic to this narrower diet that she's eating, we strengthen the digestive tract as well as rebuild it for later so Ellen doesn't need to keep taking these pills her whole life. And we also, strengthen the function of the liver and the kidneys, because the liver and the kidneys are the filters of the human body, because as we start killing off fungus, there's going to be a lot more toxins being made, and these toxins can make the symptoms worse. So Ellen, tell us, what do you recall how you were feeling after 1 month of being on this treatment?
I felt a big difference in my symptoms. I wasn't as tired. I could actually wake up a half an hour, 45 minutes earlier than I had to, you know, in the morning, and have a lot of, you know, energy. And when I went to work and I would have, you know, on those late days, I still had enough energy to, you know, to go and usually in the past, after work, I would always have to take a nap, no matter what. That's how exhausted I felt.
Uh-huh.
And I had enough energy to still go.
Mm-hmm.
And
beyond work.
Yeah.
Very good.
And my mood swings were better.
Okay.
They were more controllable, if, you know,
so
or
you
sometimes
could control
them. Yeah. Or I wouldn't even have, you know, the mood swings, or I wouldn't notice,
okay.
You know, if they were there or whatever.
All right. You had mentioned that there were no highs and lows.
Yeah.
So I guess the depression also.
Yeah.
Was under control.
Yeah, there were hardly any light switch turning off.
Did you notice any change with the other PMS symptoms, like the breast pain, the bloating, the cravings?
The cravings, I didn't have any. I hardly had any.
Mm.
Yeah, during that time, the only thing I would crave for, which is part of the diet, is like almond butter and rice cakes. That was my dessert, and
yeah.
That's the only thing I would really crave for.
Oh.
But as far as the other stuff, like I always needed iced coffee and, like I said, soda and, you know, the junk food. I didn't have any.
Mm.
And I hardly had any breast pain. I didn't have. And the bloating and the cramping, I was so happy not to have any cramping. I mean,
okay.
it just felt good not to feel, you know, yucky. And the bloating, too.
All right. So. the mood swings better and no cramping.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's big in 1 month. Mm-hmm. How was the acne?
The acne was better. My skin actually felt and looked better. It felt softer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it looked healthier, smoother.
So big changes in a month. The reason why I mentioned bleeding gums and jaw pain was because what happened after a month?
It stopped,
the bleeding gums and
the jaw pain.
Okay, because a lot of people think jaw pain, why would that be related to diet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times many of my patients also have this thing called TMJ,
mm-hmm.
or a temporal mandibular joint syndrome, which is major jaw pain, and they mention that also disappears when we treat the fungus.
Mm-hmm.
So you also had a new symptom though during that time. Could you explain that symptom?
Yeah, I thought I was doing the diet wrong,
because
I felt my bladder often felt full, and I had to use the bathroom like every 15 minutes, it felt like, you know, throughout the day.
Yeah.
And
literally, yeah?
Yeah.
You were going about everything.
Yeah. I would always have to put the sign on the door and lock the door and say, back in 5 minutes. But I always felt like my bladder was never empty. Enough. I always had to go.
Okay. How long did that symptom last?
That lasted for maybe a couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically that was happening mainly because we were killing off the fungus, a lot of toxins in the body, your body trying to get rid of them, filling up your bladder really fast, eliminating these toxins. So you can kind of relate that to like diabetes, the human body wanting to clean itself out, get rid of a poison in the form of sugar, because the body understands that sugar is bad for it. So that's why diabetics typically pee a lot. If you tune in a couple of weeks or 3 weeks, you'll hear my patient Jan talk about her interstitial cystitis. One of the main symptoms of interstitial cystitis is frequent urination, as often as every 15 minutes, but usually with severe pain. You didn't have pain with your urination though, right?
No.
Okay. Okay. So, Ellen, when did you start to really feel good, and how did you improve?
After about 3 months, I felt really good. Like right before that, my symptoms seemed to have gotten worse, especially my mood swing. I had one time where my mood swing was really bad, and then you had told me that the toxins and the fungus is trying to
make you sabotage.
Yeah, its last chance to try to stay alive. So, you know. And that's when I felt really bad. But after that, you know, I felt really good.
It cleared.
Yeah.
So did you believe me when I said that to you at that time?
Yeah, I did, because I was thinking, I was hoping that was right.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
it wasn't just me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that sounds honest, right? You're just hoping that, mm-hmm. you know, that's true, and then these symptoms are going to pass. All right, so we're going to have to take a commercial break, but when we come back, you're going to tell us about how good you feel today. You're tuned in to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida. Tonight, Ellen is telling her story of how she overcame her lifelong battle with allergies, fatigue, irritability, and perimenstrual syndrome with the use of natural medicine. Ellen and I will be right back after we take this very important sponsorship break with our friends from Nutrix Hawaii, DeVita Natural Skincare, and the Good Health Food Store.
Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida, and you're listening to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. Tonight, my patient, Ellen, is sharing her story of how she overcame her lifelong battle with allergies, fatigue, and premenstrual syndrome with natural medicine. So, Ellen, everybody's dying to know, how good do you feel now? I mean, you know, we all heard about how bad those symptoms were. Tell us about the fatigue now.
I feel really good. When the first thing I noticed, I felt like I could like do anything, and I had the energy to do anything. And I didn't mind working out, and I hadn't worked out in a while, but I found that just going back into it, I actually had an easier time.
Going back into working out on a regular basis.
Yeah, because before when I would stop and then start again, it was difficult for me to get consistent and feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But being on the diet, I could actually just start off where I left off, and I didn't have a hard time, especially with running, and I actually felt stronger.
You felt stronger while you were on this diet.
Yeah.
Very good. So before it sounded like, I guess, with in regards to working out, that when you would have your PMS time, that was hard for you to go, and maybe you didn't even want to go in.
Yeah.
So now it's easier for you to even want to go in to work out when you have your PMS time or your menses?
Yeah, I would use the PMS as an excuse because I felt so yucky not to do it when actually that's the best time you should do it.
Mm-hmm.
But even when, you know, those times when I do have it, it doesn't bother me. I feel okay. I feel good.
So I guess before you felt like you didn't feel enough energy or feel well enough to do things that maybe you wanted to do?
Yeah.
Ah.
I just felt lazy.
And now you're doing everything you want to do.
Yeah.
Very good. Tell us about the mood swings. They sounded pretty intense before. I mean, how's it feeling nowadays?
I hardly get any. And when I start, even if I start to feel even a little bit irritated, I'm able to control it and not let it, you know, go on.
Uh-huh.
And things don't bother me as much.
Uh-huh.
I hardly get irritable. I'm more tolerant.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just feel better. Feel right. Happier.
And you feel happier, too.
Yeah.
So I guess no depression.
Hardly any, no.
Hmm.
No.
You're even happier or during the time of your menses?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually am.
Okay. Tell us about the cramping, because that seemed like it really, you know, it's no fun having your menses if you're having a lot of cramping. What's going on with that?
The cramping really lessened. And even on the first and the second day, which is in the past when I would usually have the worst symptom of cramping, I didn't have any.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt really good, you know, to go through. I mean, having your menses every month, as all women know, is not the greatest, you know, and best thing in the world, most fun thing.
Yeah.
But to not have cramping, bloating, mood swings, it makes it more unbearable.
Yeah, yeah.
And tolerable.
Otherwise, it probably was kind of working on you psychologically too, right? If you're having terrible premenstrual and menstrual type things going on, you don't look forward to that, you know, what's going to happen in 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, it made such a natural process of a woman's body seem so horrible.
Mm.
But to not have the symptoms, it made it feel like this is just a natural thing, you know, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I was more accepting of, you know, my body and what it went through, its cycle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How is the breast pain and the bloating? Or how is it now?
I don't have any.
Okay. Yeah. How about the bleeding gums and the jaw pain? Did they ever return?
Oh, no, no.
So you still don't have them?
Yeah.
Very good. Let's see. I guess. So, Ellen, explain how not having these symptoms have improved your life or opened up your life.
It made me not have to worry about them occurring.
Hmm.
Because knowing that they're going to happen, it just seemed overwhelming and stressful to me. Because
mm-hmm.
every month in the past, I would be feeling like, oh no, here it comes again, you know.
Yeah.
I even try to prepare myself for the,
oh, really?
Those times. But now every month, you know, it's just a natural thing that occurs. And
it's just another day now.
Yeah, and wow. I'm able to just go on, you know, doing the things that I do and not... It'd be such a horrible event
yeah.
each month.
Would you plan your month according to your menses before? Like, you know, oh, I don't want to do that thing because it's going to be near my menses or PMS time.
Not necessarily plan my month, but if I knew, like, something would be happening around that time,
mm-hmm.
I try to mentally prepare myself. Like, if I knew there was going to be a party or if I would have to do something with other people and... I knew that my mood swings would occur.
Mm.
I would try to mentally prepare myself, you know, just in case I did feel crappy and, you know, I have to be around people and, you know, try to be happy around people.
That sounds pretty tough to do those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Ellen, we started to add food back into your diet. So we're talking about the tomatoes and the pasta and the wheat and the corn and the soy, that kind of stuff. Would you share one of the stranger reactions you got from one of the foods that we tested on you and your thoughts about it?
Well, the first food that I tested was tomato.
Okay.
And I love tomatoes, so the first day I brought a container of lomi salmon.
Okay.
Poured it all over my brown rice because you said to eat more of what you normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my brown rice and my lomi salmon and it was good. I woke up the next morning and I had like a wheel above my eye.
That's raised skin.
Yeah, raised skin above my eye, which I knew wasn't there the night before.
Mm-hmm. So it looked like hives, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And what happened? What did you do?
I completely stopped the tomatoes.
Okay.
And I was really disappointed to have to do that, but I stopped
it. Did you ever have hives from tomatoes before?
No, never
okay.
did.
We'll talk more about that in a minute. What other food did you react to?
Bread, well, wheat, mm-hmm. and dairy.
Okay.
So when I would have bread or pasta even, I would feel really tired. And my eyes would start to feel really heavy.
Mm.
And I never felt that before.
Okay.
And for dairy, like, I like ice cream and desserts and whipped cream.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Okay, what happened?
I noticed that I'd have a lot of post-nasal drip.
Okay. So a lot of, like, allergy-type symptoms
yeah.
that you had before.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. When you ate tomatoes again? What happened?
Oh, yeah. I had Zippy chili one night, and I thought that would be okay. And then and the next morning, I had another
hive
on my cheek area, and it was bigger than the first time.
Uh-huh.
So I knew already completely stay away from tomatoes. So I haven't tried any tomatoes since then.
So a lot of patients think, you know, why do I have to not eat tomatoes? Because, you know, I've never been allergic to them before, but they come to see me with all these symptoms. So obviously something is causing some of these symptoms. And some people out there are probably thinking, well, she never had hives before from eating the tomatoes. Why now? The reason why we test food allergies in that fashion, eliminate those foods totally, 100%, and add them back in is because when you isolate one food at a time, the reaction is so much greater, and that's what I shouldn't say commonly, but that happens periodically, and makes it easier for us to pick out these food allergies. Did you ever think you were allergic to tomatoes?
No.
Yeah.
Not bread or not dairy, none of those.
Oh, really? So
yeah.
What do you think about your allergies to them now, Bill?
I'm disappointed because I love, you know, tomatoes and desserts and stuff.
Mm.
But, you know, I guess I would have to choose between having a lifetime of feeling yucky.
Yeah, so you choose to feel good and avoid those foods.
Yeah.
Okay. What would you tell someone who is suffering from fatigue or bad PMS symptoms?
To really examine your diet, because I found that diet does make a difference in, you know, how you are feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So try to just look at your diet and see what you can eliminate at first and, you know, go from there.
Mm. Dason was nodding his head. Yeah, check out your diet, man.
Yeah.
So, Ellen, you also worked at a medical doctor's office before coming to my office.
Yes.
So what are the main differences that you've seen?
The main differences are the treatments, basically.